How I Met Your Monster is now a partner of TeePublic, the world's largest marketplace for independent creators. On TeePublic, you'll find millions of designs on over 100 different product types, from t-shirts and hoodies to stickers and mugs. That's right, you can now get your official How I Met Your Monster t-shirt. Or how about your official How I Met Your Monster cell phone case? And what's even better is that with every purchase, you'll be helping to support an independent artist. So check out our store on TeePublic, where you'll find How I Met Your Monster gear, custom artwork from yours truly, and tons of other designs from films we've covered on the show. Make sure to follow the link in the show notes, as well as on all of our social media channels. Now let's go meet some monsters.
The box. You opened it. We came.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left.
Explorers in further regions of experience. Demons to some. Angels to others.
Call your meatloaf.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to How I Met Your Monster, the show where we discuss the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. I'm Zach.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Casey.
And today we have a special guest with us to speak about Children of the Corn, the 1984 Stephen King adaptation. We've got Zach Burns with us today. How are you doing, Zach?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Two Zachs on the show. I don't know.
It's going to get confusing.
Yep.
It's almost enough.
Did you guys ever have like two kids in your class that had the same name?
I mean, every class has Sarah. Every class has like five Sarahs and five Ashleys, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Zach, we'll just call you Z-Dog or something to differentiate.
Wait, which one?
Yeah.
You. I'm not going to disrespect our guest with that kind of nickname.
I was going to say we can go by middle names, and so you can be Bernard.
Oh, yeah. I'll be Bernard. Okay.
Or we all just go by Zach. Just make it. Let's go all in on the confusion.
Oh, that's well, terrible.
But Zach is the other Zach is a Oklahoma filmmaker, and you've been around doing stuff for quite a while. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been here trying to make movies since since I got out of college in 2010.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys have made some shorts and documentaries and a couple features, right? You and your brother?
Yeah. So me, my brother, and another guy we met in college named Vinny Hogan, we started our own small little production company called Planet Thunder Productions. And we've made lots of short films, three feature films, and then a documentary that we were nominated for a Heartland Emmy.
Oh, nice.
But we were nominated, which was fun.
Yeah.
And I'm continuing that trend. I'm trying to make our fourth feature.
Yeah, which this will be your directorial debut, feature debut, right?
Yes. So I've directed and co-directed some of the short films that we've made, but this upcoming film, Hell Hath No Fury, will be my first time directing a feature. Our other films, Fable Shannon Cable, was directed by Vinnie Hogan. And then Jacob, my brother, directed our other two features, Electric Nostalgia and Shifter.
Okay. Nice. I did see Shifter on Amazon. That was excellent. And I think you came up with a story for that. Is that correct?
Yeah, Jacob and I both kind of came up with the story on that. And then Jacob did all the actual writing because he's better at that than I am. I just tell him how to make it better.
Yeah. Bad at writing, but you're good at telling what's wrong. I'm the same way. Shifter, you can find on Amazon and probably a lot of other streaming services. So if you listeners out there want to check it out, it is definitely worth the watch. But you are running a new campaign for fundraising your feature debut, Hell Hath No Fury, which we will get into a little bit later, so stick around for that. But today we're talking about Children of the Corn. And as always, before we get into our feature for the day, we like to talk about kind of some things we've been watching. Any recommendations? Casey, do you want to start?
I haven't watched anything.
What?
I haven't.
What about you, Danny?
I haven't been watching really anything new. Really, the only standout thing, I guess, was doing a little double feature on Halloween, watching John Carpenter's Halloween and then Hocus Pocus. It's a perfect way to round out the evening. And Halloween didn't feel very Halloween-y this year because I was just busy doing some things. So I tried to like capitalize on the holiday, like in one, like, I don't know, big like 2 hour time slot, or I should say 4 hour time slot because there's two movies. Right. But it was fun.
Did you watch any more of The Outsider?
No. It was funny because I waited for Cody to kind of catch up with me. So now he's caught up and now he's mad because he's like, can we just start episode 4? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm busy. So now we're like on the same page, but we can't like keep up with each other. But we'll get there. We'll watch The Outsider. We'll watch Midnight Mass. We'll do everything we're supposed to do.
Thank you.
I know. Slacking.
Zach, what are you into? Are you into horror a lot, or
A broad range? I'm big into pretty much anything, but I do really love horror movies. I did watch one the other day that I hadn't seen before. It's an older movie called Life Force. Toby Hooper movie.
Yeah, I watched that like last year for the first time.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, but it was a lot of fun.
And I don't know why people don't talk about it anymore, because it's not, I mean, it's not terrible. It's not his best, but it's fun.
It's a blast, and it's wild, because it's basically like five different movies crammed into one. It kind of starts as like an alien movie, and then it's more like a weird vampire movie. And then suddenly at the end, it's like a zombie outbreak movie. It's insane.
Who made this? How come? I feel like I haven't heard of that title.
It's a Toby Hooper, who did Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Poltergeist.
I had no idea this movie existed.
You should definitely seek it out.
Was there one particular horror movie that sort of like made you want to start making them, or got you interested in the genre to begin?
Not one specific movie that inspired, just movies in general. I grew up being a huge cinephile. My dad is really big into movies, so it's pretty much all I did growing up was watching movies, and not just, you know, movies of the time. Like I was watching silent movies, old Universal monster movies, stuff from the 60s, 70s, up to the current stuff when, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s when I was growing up. So I got a pretty good movie education growing up, which just really instilled a lot of love of the art form. Decided I'd take a crack at it, I guess.
Nice. Right. Yeah, just a natural progression. You watch all those movies, you may as well make one.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's like you're watching a movie that's maybe subpar, and you're like, oh my god, I could do this so much better. And then you do it, and you're like, ah, shit.
No.
Yeah, I made the same mistake.
Movies are actually really hard.
But
Casey, you'll be happy to know that I watched The Dark and the Wicked.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
Well, it was okay. It was okay. I just... I think it was built, the scariness of it was built up so much.
That's why it was scary.
Cases like that's what I liked about it.
It creeped me out a lot more.
It was
more
very
than,
creepy. Very creepy.
A lot more than other movies ever have, I think.
And then I also watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, you did.
Per your recommendation.
Thank you.
Good stuff right there.
But I do have to rewatch it.
Why?
I have to rewatch it because I watched it this morning at like 5 a.m. because I couldn't sleep.
As you do.
But I did fall asleep, so I didn't see the end.
You kind of have to see the end.
Yeah, that's where everything gets a nice bow tied up around it.
Yeah.
I got to the part right after Meatloaf's whole thing where he comes out on
Cousin
his motorcycle.
Eddie.
Okay, so you have quite a bit. It's going to take some more
time. Yeah, you still have quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you didn't actually watch it, but that's okay.
I don't know. I watched a quarter of it, I guess. But but Tim Curry's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had always seen the character everywhere, but never actually watched him in the movie. So that was fun. And then I watched Halloween 4.
Oh yeah.
Zach, right. Are you a Halloween fan?
I have seen the original and the 2018 one.
Okay.
And that's the extent of the franchise that I've seen. The original is obviously a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Danny here is a big Halloween fan, but me and Casey are kind of in your boat where we've seen the original a ton. I thought I had seen the sequels, but maybe I haven't, because Halloween 4, there was like so much that I did not know happened. But I turned on Shudder and they have like Shudder TV that just like plays movies. And of course Halloween was on, cause it was, Halloween night. And then right after that, Halloween 4 came on and I have mixed feelings about it. Like I told you, Danny, that like, we didn't really get a chance to get into it, but there were some things that I really loved about it. And there were some things that confused me. I didn't know that little Jamie, Danielle Harris, was supposed to be Laurie Strode's kid.
Yeah, because then in H2O, she has a son.
Well, okay. Well, that's where that fun little Halloween timeline comes into play. Though I would argue that, I don't know, well, maybe not. I could half argue that part 7 still is in that canon, because she does kind
what
of like...
What is part 7?
In part H2O. Oh,
okay.
Because in part 4, they say that Laurie Strode died in a car accident. In part 7, in H2O, they say that she faked her death. So she could have just as well been like actively, like deliberately putting her daughter up for adoption, maybe to keep her safe, moving on. But then it doesn't... Then you have like this wonky timeline where...
Yeah.
It's like, why would she just abandon her kid to have another kid and keep that kid? Well, I mean, I get it. It's Josh Hartnett. I understand her reasoning behind this, but
you'd keep Josh Hartnett?
She has her baby. And she has her baby. And she's like, oh man, it's not Josh Hartnett. There's no way he's ever going to be Josh Hartnett. Let's try again.
Yeah, there's a woman that I work with that, because, you know, we had done the Halloween Kills episode or whatever, and this woman that I work with loves the Halloween franchise, and she watched that one, and she's like, I don't understand. I'm like, no, Karen, her name is actually Karen. I'm not just calling her a Karen. Like, no, Karen, they have nothing to do with all the other ones. She's like, but she's got a daughter, and then she's got a son, and now she has a daughter again. I'm like, none of them matter. None of them matter. I don't know what to tell you.
I think that's why I kind of give it a pass, like, I basically don't mind how insane the timeline is in the Halloween franchise, because my introduction to the franchise and the way I watched it was even weirder. I started with, it went 6, 2, 1, 4, 5, no, 7, then 4, 5, then 8, and then the Rob Zombies, and then 3. Yeah. So it's like, I give it a pass because I kind of like did it the disservice of not watching.
Yeah, you wouldn't
it
know what was going on anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. And even in part 4, like we had talked about him being, Michael being theatrical. He's very theatrical in this one.
Oh, yeah. Like, part 4 is like, very much like Halloween Kills in a way, with like the mob mentality and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But like him like sitting in the rocking chair with the shotgun and like not moving and just like waiting for who knows how long before somebody comes up behind him.
He's a patient guy. Yeah. Sat in a sanatorium for 17 years.
Right. Well, do you guys think it's time to meet our monster?
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right.
Let's freaking do it.
So Children of the Corn is creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this was the first horror movie that I ever saw.
Really?
Was it?
Yeah, wow. When I was 6 years old.
Oh man.
Yeah, my dad brought it home.
So you would have fit right in the town.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are monsters because, as you know, as Will Smith once said, parents just don't understand.
Casey would be, you would actively like be siding up with Isaac and Malachi to like get this shit going.
Yeah, like, get them out of here.
Like, all excited.
Yeah, I don't know if my dad I don't know if maybe he was confused. The title is Children of the Corn. Maybe he thought it was a kid's movie. I don't know.
It does kind of have that sort of flair to
he
it.
He also brought home the Toxic Avenger the same day, which
He did. He knew what he was doing.
Not kid-friendly.
Maybe not, because they made a cartoon out of the Toxic Avenger.
I had a toy for the Toxic Avenger. I remember something about, like, you could, like, put ooze coming out, like, from the back of its head, so it, like, it comes out of his eyes, but...
That's cool.
This is a long time ago. I do not remember specifics. Yeah. But yeah, Children of the Corn was based on a short story that Stephen King wrote. He actually first published it in Penthouse, and then eventually put it in his book of short stories, Night Shift. And that was, like, back in, like, the late 70s.
Yeah. Zach, do you remember the first time you saw Children of the Corn?
Yeah, because it was only like 10 years ago. I was in college when I saw it. And fun fact, Fritz Kirsch, who directed the movie, was at the time running the film program at Oklahoma City University.
Nice.
So I know the guy, and he actually lives here in Oklahoma City, which is crazy.
That's so cool.
He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Did he ever talk about the making of the film at all, or was that sort of not really on the
not too much. Yeah. And to be fair, I know the guy, of course, and I was at the school when he was there. But I actually wasn't part of the film program. I was going to school for photography. So I was more in the artsy fartsy stuff. But my brother was there at the same time as me. And he was doing the film program, and I was hanging out with all the film program kids anyway. So, I got to know Fritz pretty well.
That's so cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. We actually just found out, Casey apparently knew this, but me and Danny attended Full Sail University in Florida. And we just found out that Alex Vincent, who plays Andy Barkley in Child's Play, was at the school for sound design the same time that we were.
Yeah.
We had no idea.
I knew that while you guys were there. I knew that while you guys were there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't know. I because I hung out with a lot of Full Sail people. I mean, you guys, obviously. And then I had a couple of friends that were in, like, I hung out with a lot of people in the gaming thing. And I knew a couple of people that were in the recording part. And they told me. And I'm
funny.
I'm sorry that I didn't relay that to you guys.
Thanks.
My bad.
Appreciate that. Great friend.
I'm just like sitting at home watching Child's Play on repeat.
He's in the room next door.
Oh, man, I wish I could meet Andy when he was grown up.
You should see all of Zach's diary entries. It's just about that. If only he knew.
Aww.
Oh, man. Me and Alex Vincent could have been friends till the end, but thanks, Casey.
Great job.
Sorry.
So we get monster sightings in Children of the Corn right off the bat. Right out of the gate. That is a brutal opening scene.
Yeah. I love it.
Holy shit.
Straight up massacre.
What would you call the music in this? Like, what? Because it's not like gospel necessarily, but
very like Omen.
Yeah. And like, I noticed later in the movie, there's like that like Omen style kind of like chorus,
but they mix it with like 80s like, horror music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some
really
synth
cool
in there.
Yeah.
I made a note about that because that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cody walked in at one point because usually I watch these with my headphones in, and he was like, "What the fuck is that music that they always use in all those 80s horror movies?" And I'm like, "It's just synth." And he's like, "Oh, okay." He was just like, "Why is it always the same?" He's like, "Every time you're watching this like older horror movie, it's always like very similar music." I'm like, "Yeah, that was the thing."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do. I love how they blend it in with that like that Latin creepy, you know, satanic choir kind of thing.
I like that because in the beginning, in the like the first part of the opening credits, I guess they play that music with those pictures. Or no, that's the second part. Never mind.
Yeah.
But
I mean, our first sighting of we get two introductions to our monsters, Malachi and Isaac, and they're both drastically different because Isaac comes in like real fucking creepy. From the outside, and he just like peeks in the window, and he's got that hat on, and you're just like, ugh. And then you got Malachi playing fucking pinball.
I don't think they could have found a more perfect person for Isaac.
Oh, I agree.
Oh,
that guy is so creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect casting.
Perfect casting. His voice always kind of just like reminds me of like 80s, very specific like 80s genre movies. And it always like scared me as a kid, but now I just appreciate it so much. Like, he was in, I should have double checked this first, but he was in Ridley Scott's Legend, right?
I don't know. I have never actually seen Legend.
Let's move on. Oh, really? Oh, it's, that's the one, Zach, that was the movie I was telling you about. Meg Mucklebones is from that creepy swamp witch.
Oh, right.
Haunted my dreams as a kid. Like genuinely the scariest movie monster I remember growing up being terrified of. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. We should do Legend on this someday because.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I don't know if it's as creepy nowadays, but. Oh yeah. You have Tim Curry as basically the devil.
No, I don't think he's in it. David Bennett kind of resembles him. Maybe that's who you're thinking of.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's just a. Anyways.
The waitress in the diner was also in on it. Yeah. So I thought she was like an older person. But then she's like killing people, and I guess
that's what threw me off first too. Because I guess she must have been at least 18. But I was like, "What? Where's the?" Yeah. I don't understand. But then of course, then you kind of like realize like once they hit that certain age, then they self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have any of you guys read the story, the Stephen King story?
Not this one. I actually have a few of his short story collections, but not this one.
Okay. Because I wonder, like. You don't read?
I don't.
Casey can't read.
Can you read or you just don't read?
I just don't read. I used to read. I would go like a year not reading and then I'd read like four books and then I wouldn't read for another year. And then now it's been like 6 years.
You know who did read this short story? The characters in the movie. When they're driving, you can literally see Stephen King's Night Shift book on the dashboard.
Oh, no shit.
Wow, look at
you. I thought that was fun. I was like, hey. Because it's a very like distinct cover, like it's a hand with like eyeballs coming out of it.
Okay.
So I immediately noticed it. I'm like, oh, look at those little devils being all clever.
Well, maybe they didn't read and they just wanted people to think that they were.
There you go. Smart.
Well, he's a doctor.
He's so a doctor, which he reminds me of this many times throughout the movie. I get it.
Yes. Yeah.
Medical school's expensive, but yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I want to know if there's any listeners out there who have read the book, send in your comments or answer this for me, because I want to know if in the book, do they say where Isaac comes from?
Ah.
Because he basically just shows up in the movie and he just does this thing. And, you know, you get that in movies a lot that are based on books because there's just not time to put everything in there. But I'm curious if they explain where he like originated.
Cause they sort of hint at it. They mention that he was like some sort of not priest, but something and that he was just like really weird.
They say he was a preacher.
A preacher. Yeah.
They said he randomly just shows up.
Town to town.
As kids do.
Those little devils. Ransacking towns, killing the locals and taking over to worship
their devil.
Yep.
What a dream.
This is originally a comedy, and they were like, this is pretty dark, you guys. Let's take a shift.
Yeah.
Casey, your dad was onto something. This was a kid's movie.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah.
So a little bit of really awesome editing in this movie is when dude gets hit by the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
that
serious.
Was crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the first intro that our main characters get of like, maybe not of the monsters, but of like ill doing, like something's wrong.
Ill doing. Yeah, that definitely. Together. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like, I'm like, wow, that looked really real.
Yeah.
It actually genuinely scared me because I'd only seen this movie once before and I kind of forgot like what brought them to town. I thought it was just like the whole like running out of gas thing, but I'm like watching and I'm trying to remember, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh god, it just like cuts just like hitting the kid in the road. I was like, oh, that's how it happens. Okay.
Yeah, running a kid over in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Man, Stephen King loves that.
Oh, loves it. There's a lot of Stephen Kingisms in this movie. I mean, like, obviously, but like the whole like obsessive zealots and the creepy kids and the corn in the middle of nowhere and getting hit by a car. And
yeah. So when that kid was like walking through the corn, it gave me PTSD. Have you guys ever walked through corn like that before?
Yeah.
It's a fucking nightmare.
It seems endless. You feel like it's never going to end.
I did an internship at a wildlife refuge and we had to take soil samples at farms. And there was this one that was just a giant cornfield and we had to take 6 soil samples out of it. And me and this other girl are just, and it just rained. The corn stalks were super close together and we're just getting slapped in the face by wet freaking corn leaves, like cutting our faces. And we're like, oh, what?
It was your shift just ended terrible. With people hearing Casey screaming from the cornfield.
It was terrible. I also got lost in the woods during that internship.
Oh my
and,
God.
Ooh, oh, no. It was something. I thought
so
I was
so many
die.
Liabilities.
Man, yeah. I thought I was going to die. I thought it was over. I got lost for like 3 hours. And this other kid that he was like a volunteer. He was only like 17 years old. He's waiting for me out on the road. And I finally make it back. And he's like, what the fuck? And he's like yelling at me. I'm like, listen, Wade, this was way worse for me than it was for you. Okay. Shut up.
I just experienced something. Okay?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Life-defining.
I was like I was having such a great time. We're just like surveying for these fucking bugs, right? So we're just like looking for bugs in the woods. And I like sit down next to this river. I'm like, oh, it's so nice in here. And then I'm like, wait, which way?
Oh no.
Which way did I come from? And then like my cell phone died. And yeah, it was fucking, it was great. Anyway, sorry.
What about when Bert is going to investigate the cornfield? Mm-hmm. And Malachi is like in the fucking background.
Yeah.
They do that I don't know if you see him step out of the corn or if he's just there, but
I think you see him step out.
He's creepy. Yeah. It's fucking creepy. He's just a creepy dude.
Well, it's crazy to think about like that these people could have just left that dead kid in the road and everything would have been fine for them.
I know. like opened his luggage.
Yeah, no, like they could have just left him there. Nobody would have ever known. Mm-hmm. They would have never gotten in trouble. Like,
yeah,
but they had to let's try put our fingerprints on everything first, and then
But it wouldn't have mattered. The entire town is dead.
Yeah, there's no adults or police to investigate.
Yeah, the police was burned on the cornstalks. The cross.
Yeah, yeah, the police was hanging up on the cornstalk. Yeah,
I do have a question. Speaking of like the way these kids manage this town, I thought they had a really great setup for the mechanic. I forget his name.
I don't remember.
In IMDb, it says Diehl, D-I-E-H-L. So I'm probably mispronouncing that. But
I thought
he was kind of like a front. What were you saying?
Oh no, I think I recognize that name, the spelling Diehl. Of it. So it might have been like on his jacket or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But continue, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I thought that like he was sort of like a really like deliberately placed front, like so for people who are passing by, they would kind of be thrown off, he would throw them off. But did I miss something why they decide to kill him? Was that just like one of Isaac's visions that he was told just to like kill him?
Well, no, I think Isaac was pissed that they killed him.
Yeah, I think Malachi
took
did it himself because I don't know, he's just a jerk.
He was just getting like impatient.
Killing all the adults in town wasn't enough, so he had to kill the last one.
All
on his own.
Okay.
Well, that's like a kind of a thing that we get to later in the movie where I think Malachi is like, Isaac, you're a little bitch. Like, let's do this. If we're going to do this, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so Isaac is kind of like, you know, just listening to what he thinks is God or whatever. But Malachi's like, man.
It's basically, this is basically just a retelling of the tortoise and the hare. You know, you have the tortoise, who's Isaac, who's just like the slow burn.
Yeah, but it doesn't
end.
He's
playing the long con, kind of.
Well, I guess
Malachi's like, let's just run. Let's do this. And then, of course, who loses in the end but Malachi? Spoiler alert. Hashtag spoilers.
I mean, they both lose. Well,
yeah, they both kind of lose.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Everybody does.
To be fair, I've not seen any of the sequels, so
I actually haven't either. I just was thinking about that this morning.
Well, did I miss something at the end where it was kind of like Isaac becomes like a demon, right?
Yeah.
Because he who walks behind the rose comes up and takes him over.
Yeah.
And then him and Malachi start fighting. And then I don't know what happened to them, because then it goes to like Bert trying to burn down the cornfield, and then they just like burns it.
I think Isaac kills him. He stabs, he grabs the rake or the fork and like.
Oh, okay.
I was eating ice cream and I think I was paying more attention to the ice cream.
God, we're terrible at this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, different moments. Oh, I've got to do something.
I got a tip. Pretty sure Isaac kills Malachi there.
Okay.
And then, the movie just kind of leaves him. So presumably they just burned up, I guess.
Burning.
Well, there is, because one of the sequels is called Isaac's Return.
Oh.
That's cool. Yeah. So I haven't seen it, so I don't know what happens. But.
Okay.
Third or fourth one or something. Mm-hmm.
And they filmed one of the newer sequels here in Oklahoma, didn't they, Zach?
Yeah, I actually worked on that one.
Okay.
Oh, no kidding. Which one?
Yeah, it's called Children of the Corn Runaway.
Okay.
And they shot it here in like 2016, I think. They actually shot that and Hellraiser Judgment here back to back. And I worked on both of them, which was very a hoot.
Cool. Yeah.
That's so cool.
But yeah, lots of blood everywhere.
yeah.
Some corn. Not a lot of corn, actually. They shot it like February. So like I don't know when corn season is, but I don't think it's February.
It's not, no.
Yeah.
So they came back for a couple of reshoots to get an actual cornfield.
Oh.
That's so funny.
That's kind of what started our involvement with Heather Langenkamp for our short Cottonmouth.
Oh yeah.
That she did a day on Hellraiser, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And made some connections, and through those connections we were able to get her in the movie, which was fun.
Nice. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah,
she's a nice lady.
She really is. Yes. So sweet.
I feel like we're jumping around. I feel like we missed an important moment, but
Mean like the whole story because I jumped to the end?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we missed about a few minutes, maybe like an hour.
Yeah.
I love though the just the atmosphere of this town. Mm-hmm. With the corn stalks and all the buildings and mm-hmm. everything's run down. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the atmosphere that Halloween 4 opening credits gives off. It's just like really, it's like fall, right? Mm-hmm. You want to see fall on film, watch Halloween 4 opening credits.
Yeah.
But nobody talks about this one.
Yeah.
This has a creepy, creepy fall vibe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I love it.
I like that they have all of the paintings of like Jesus and all of these religious paintings that they've painted over all sillily.
Oh, okay.
Is that a word?
Sillily?
Yeah. Oh, I actually have a question about that. So they mentioned earlier how they basically kill and hang up that cop who tried to burn down the corn. Mm-hmm. And they call him the Blue Man. Mm-hmm. And then later we see a photo, or not a photo, a painting of Jesus. And it's like all scratched up and it's painted blue. And I didn't know if there was some sort of connection there that I missed. If like they view almost like false prophets as like,
yeah.
Or maybe they saw the cop as like a false prophet and then sort of like carried that look over to the Jesus.
Yeah. Cause even when they go into the police station later, there's on like the wall of police things, they paint over it. No false. What's the word you just said?
Prophet.
Prophets.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Well, so are you kind of saying that like the color blue has something to do with it?
Yeah, and I don't know if they stole that from like the cop, like they've made that.
Well,
like,
I know because Linda Hamilton's character is wearing a blue shirt.
Hmm. So she's like a false prophet.
So I don't know.
It's almost like it's meant to be.
Well, they're also adults.
All adults wear blue.
So I mean they kill all of the adults, Danny. I mean they kill the adults.
No, I get it. I'm just being an ass.
Yeah.
No, but I do love, just to kind of go back to the whole like atmosphere and vibe, I really do I love it in this movie. A lot of Stephen King, it's funny because like it just goes to show how good visual, like how much of a good visual storyteller Stephen King is with his writing. Because even though like a lot of his movies have different filmmakers, you can always tell when it's a Stephen King story. There's a very specific atmosphere. Even when they're set in like different, like this, I don't know any other stories that are set in Gatlin, Nebraska in a Stephen King story.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was actually thinking.
Yeah, but it looks like a Stephen King town. And I just, I think they just nailed that perfectly with this. And maybe I think that's why this movie is so fun to watch, because of the atmosphere.
Maybe you just can't tell the difference between Maine and Nebraska.
That's true. Well, you know who else couldn't? Rob Reiner in Stand By Me. The most frustrating little fact from that movie is the fact that Portland, Maine is where the movie is supposed to, or the book is supposed to be set, the novella. And for whatever reason, they call it Portland. Is it Washington? Am I like losing my mind? It's Washington, right?
Oregon? No, he's in
Oregon.
He's
by thank Oregon. You. Oregon. Yeah, Oregon. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And I always just think that's like the most random little shift where it's like, why? And it was just like this convenient. He's like, oh, I can change it, so I will. This is no longer Maine. But yeah.
Oh, Rob.
Yep.
Yeah, back to that part at the beginning.
We're all over the place.
What part?
No, I mean, the last thing that you had really mentioned was Malachi in the cornfield. And that's when she has that dream.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, where the dead kid sits up in the road. That freaked me out.
Yeah, that's legit creepy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I loved it.
Well, it got me because I was like, I know there's no, like, ghosts and stuff in this movie, so it's going to be a fake out. I was like, oh no, they still did it. It's a dream. I should have known better.
Yeah. Yep.
Spooky and then dreams in a Stephen King story. I can't believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird, right? Weird.
And then that's when it's when they start playing like the cool music, because they're like driving through the cornfield and can't figure the fuck out where they're going.
Yeah, and they're like going in circles.
Oh yeah, well, all those signs.
About that sequence when they were seemingly the roads were just, I don't know, twisting around on themselves. It seemed every time we cut back to them in the car, the corn is closer and closer.
Oh, I love that.
Which was really cool. Like it's, you know, it's closing in on them.
Yeah.
Can't avoid it.
Oh, that's neat.
So speaking of the signs, are we to assume that it was the kids who were like messing with the signs, or was that like a supernatural force sort of like messing with them, like just to kind of like take them to the town?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, those kids both. They do like sacrificing people.
That's true.
That's true. I didn't like, I just assumed it was supernatural. I didn't even think about the kids doing it.
Reverse. I just now was like, oh yeah, maybe it was, because I didn't think of what Zach said about the corn kind of like closing in. I was like, oh, right. That is very I don't know, like otherworldly, like some kind of otherworldly influence.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the end there is a cloud demon, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna sign off on that being supernatural.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
100%.
100%. No doubts.
Casey, you just mentioned a cloud demon.
Yeah.
So that brings up the point that I love. When a movie has those rolling clouds that come in super fast, like in Child's Play and in this. And it's like so fake, but it just looks so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just awesome. Like, oh, shit's going down. Storm's rolling like, in. Like
so
really
giddy watching
rolling
the
in.
End of the movie over clouds. You freaking nerd.
Zach's just trying to plug the Chucky series again. We got Andy Barclay. We got Child's Play Clouds. Just tell it. You like the show. It's okay. Just tell
us. I mean, you know, the first time I did see Children of the Corn was on Sci-Fi. And also on I'm just kidding.
You might know about this new series that was just released. Episode 4 airing next week.
No, I need to catch up on that because I've only seen the first episode and I really liked it.
Yeah, that's good. All I watched too.
I watched that.
It's really fun.
I also like all of the close-ups of like weapons in this. Every chance they get, they show a really close,
a lot of violence,
sickle or
lots of sharp objects. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and they're all like beauty shots. Like anytime someone picks up, like if he takes it out of his holster or they pick up a knife, something, it's all like the nice light hits it and it glows. And
yeah,
well, I blame really the parents because parents put all their weight into telling kids not to run with scissors, but they never mention anything like sickles or axes or pitchforks. And this is why this story exists, yeah. You guys.
Yeah, we did this. Loopholes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a loophole.
Well, so like, why is Bert, when he's going through the town, like, he's so obsessed with finding somebody in this town.
Yeah.
Like, there are ghost towns out there, like, for real.
Well, yeah.
But he's like, we need to find somebody in this town.
He's just naturally inclined to want to find, like, logical answers. So he's like, why is this town?
He is a doctor.
You know, a ghost town. Like, why is this happening? There's a
reason. He was told that there were people still there.
True.
By deal.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
He just said they were religious and stuff, but he was told that there were still people.
And, you know, he wasn't lying.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
There were people there, and they were very religious.
Yeah, very religious. He wasn't
specific about the details.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of religions out there.
Yep.
That's right.
This one's a little more violent.
Yeah.
What would this religion be called?
That's a great question. Maybe it's just called Children of the Corn.
I mean, yeah, because it's a cult, and I guess that would be.
They are the children of the corn.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
All right. Dumb question. Let's move on.
Maybe they made.
Actually, trying to think, and like I can't, I don't have. I have nothing. Yeah.
I wonder if they made pamphlets to like hand out.
Just so Sarah just drew it with like her little cartoon sketches.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Like, all their pamphlets tell the future.
So like when kids, I noticed this in the drawings at the beginning, like anytime there's a kid drawing in a movie, they always do the S's backwards.
Always.
Why is that like a standard?
She didn't do all of them backwards though.
Okay, well, she did some. That's even worse because she's just like stupid.
Like, she's not
Sarah,
stupid.
You know. Sarah, the first letter of your name is an S. You should know the right direction.
She's a psychic. She's not stupid.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious because like anytime in a movie that you see, like that's the go-to, a kid wrote this because the S is backwards.
You know, S's, they're really hard. They're the hardest letter.
They are. As long as they squiggle, we get it. Like,
right.
It's an S. But speaking of Sarah doing that little artwork, that's another intro that we get. And I think it's Vicky's first official intro to the monsters, to Malachi's when.
Oh, I love that part.
It's such a great reveal when you get to see that, like, she's like looking at it, but we don't get to see what it is. Mm-hmm. And then you realize they're like coming to kill you.
Yeah, I like that they only show, like, until Malachi actually walks up, they show a few of them, like, just their bottom halves with their weapons and stuff.
Yeah, when they like got in formation outside that house, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, and it shows all the different ways they're breaking in and stuff.
And I got a really like icky feeling when they like close in on her in the room and she just like cornered, has nowhere to go. Ugh, it just, I didn't like that.
Yeah, this movie is really good at building up the tension.
100%.
Of just like building up these scenes to something and really effectively utilizes that. All of these kids are legitimately terrifying.
100%.
Right.
And they're everywhere.
Yeah, you feel like, you almost feel like violated by them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's very creepy.
Yeah, that Rachel girl is really creepy.
Well, Stephen King is just really good at taking characters who are very either like obsessive or have very addictive personalities, like, you know, and what a great way to present that than with like kids who are just so impressionable.
Yeah.
You know, like he did like Misery, you know, Christine, you know, like even the car is obsessed, you know, like he like has like a theme that he likes to play with. And this one, I think he did it kind of gave him this sort of like, it opened up a lot of possibilities because he's not handling adults who kind of like, even if they are obsessed with something, they kind of know better. These kids are just so impressionable, so willing to do literally anything they're told. So yeah, it makes it that much scarier, I think.
Which is kind of like, I'm curious about that because there's the two kids, Is it Job? Yes.
Job, yeah.
Not Job, Job.
Job? Job and Sarah. And they have their like their own little thing where they're like, we don't believe whatever. And then I guess the kid at the beginning who gets hit by the car.
Yeah.
But then at the end, there's like a bunch of them.
Yeah, they like all kind of give up. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
They're like in the barn. Oh, were those just kids that were like in the...
Yeah. And then Bert was like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? You killed your parents. And I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
We did kill
them. They're like an adult. Yeah. Yes.
Finally, an adult is so
I had a feeling this was wrong, but I needed confirmation.
Yeah.
Although that said, when you find out at the end that like Isaac and Malachi, they're not actually crazy or anything. There actually is a demon. Yeah. There, he who walks behind the rose is real. So you start to kind of, it's not that I can justify them killing people, but like, oh, I get it. Like you didn't just do this on a weird, you know, psychological whim. It was, you were being told by some like unnatural force to kill these people.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I get it. I don't agree with them, but I get it.
I can understand.
Yeah.
But what would you do if you were there?
I would leave. I'd be like, no, thank you. I'm gonna leave now. This is not.
Well, I mean,
after
I would die because I'm old.
Well, okay. We're all too old. We're all well past 19. But what would you do if you were 12 and they were like they killed your parents and shit?
I don't know. I've always been a little bit.
I mean, the closest town is 19 miles. Do you know how long it took me to walk the mile in high school?
I'd be more like Job and Sarah. I would want to just hide. I'd be like, no, thank you. I've never been big with like teams and stuff. So,
yeah.
I have social anxiety. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, there's a thing like that's a reason why the kid, they basically killed the kid in the cornfield.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning. If he didn't get hit by the car, he would have died anyways.
Yeah.
Because they're not letting them leave.
Right.
But then I don't know why they like let Sarah and Job just kind of like do their thing.
Because they were the only people who weren't there to witness he who whatever, whatever at the very beginning when they killed all the parents.
Oh, okay.
They were the only children that weren't there.
Okay. Because dude was in the coffee shop.
Yeah, with his dad and Sarah was at home with a fever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get a pass.
Yeah. So they don't have to. So they're cool.
Plus Sarah was a local artist, so they're like, let's not touch her.
Plus, since she's psychic, they can use her.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
She's got the shine or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
I don't have one. I don't have a conspiracy theory, but.
I mean, that could be.
Wait, I think that is the conspiracy theory.
Does Sarah
have the shine?
Yeah.
I think it's time for the How I Met Your Monster conspiracy theory of the week.
Telling me that NASA is going to kill the President of the United States with an earthquake.
Not exactly the kind of thing a Secret Service agent can, like, just throw himself on top of.
The whole Vietnam War was fought over a bet that Howard Hughes lost to Aristotle of NASA.
Our third issue this year, conspiracy theory.
Well, that's it. All right. Sarah's got the shine.
Great.
That's it.
No one open.
Really depth theory you got there.
I try so hard. I tried so hard in the beginning, and then I just realized that I can never. I just can't. So
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of probably a good thing that I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. No, that I'm not good at conspiracy.
Yeah, that's probably good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's another podcast right there. So
I think Linda Hamilton's character got so fed up with Bert.
Oh, no.
Oh, that she's now part of the Terminator franchise? Is that what you were going to say?
What else would it be? She got fed up with Bert, and she moved to L.A., became a waitress. Yes. Got a lizard for a pet. Changed her name.
She was inspired by Sarah, the little
because
girl.
Bert was so because Bert is so obsessive that it turned into like a sleeping with the enemy kind of vibe, where she had to change her hair, she had to change her name to Sarah.
I was gonna
because she was inspired, like she loved the little girl Sarah.
Yes,
but then she kept Job and changed his name.
to John
because Job is a little too tricky for some people.
Maybe Bert took off with the kids and like left her hanging. And that's why she left. And there's like this memory that she's trying to like uphold.
Yes.
And then a robot comes back through time to kill her.
Yeah. Right. Because we already know like shit can happen. There's supernatural shit. Why isn't there time travel? There's
so wait, is Arnold Schwarzenegger Isaac from the future?
I hope so.
Yeah. He's like, okay, this outfit's not doing it. Maybe I'll go to the gym and maybe that'll do it.
Yeah. Let's get a new haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a lot of steroids.
Finally.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's good.
All right. We cracked it, guys. It's all good.
We did it.
Nailed it.
Two conspiracy theories this week.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Wild. Proud of you.
Yeah. All
right. And how, like, you have two iconic scenes that happen fairly close to each other. Mm-hmm. You have the Outlander scene.
Yes. I love that.
So good.
Everybody.
And then even Linda Hamilton's character, is it Vicky?
Yeah. Yeah.
Vicky on the hanging up on the cross in the cornfield. Yes. Just those visuals are just so iconic in horror. And I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
Good stuff.
There's a lot of iconic shots and stuff. And this movie is good because it's so tight. Like, there's really not any fat on this movie. It just kind of, like, hits the ground running. Like, literally, that opening scene, we kill him, and then we meet our other characters, and then... Yep. So,
rolling.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
I love it.
No fat on an all-corn diet.
Sure.
Sure.
You go ahead and believe that.
But corn is used to make high-fructose corn syrup, so...
And kids love that. Is that Stephen King like have this whole like commentary on high fructose corn syrup? He's like, look what it does to the children.
Yeah, this is his pushback on big corn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corn.
He's always got something to say.
It's irrelevant, you know? Yeah. Like, he has such staying power.
He's got his finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
I love when Bert kind of turns into MacGyver at the end.
Yeah.
And he even kind of, I made a note here, he even kind of looks like MacGyver.
He's like MacGyver meets Michael Bay, totally.
Yes.
When they figure out like that they have to burn the cornfield down?
Yeah.
Yeah, but somehow MacGyver can't fucking throw a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
Like, he just throws it in the middle of the freaking road.
Yeah. And, like, then you get Job, who it's like, he's like, go back. I don't need your help,
that was
Job.
So funny. I know. And then he's like, help me, Job. Help me.
He's like, what is doing? Just touch it. Turn it. Leave it alone. Job's like, what do you want from me?
Oh, but it was so cute. What did he say? He said Job to go back. And he's like, go. Get out of here. Blood it. Whatever. Job's like, God, jeez. He said something that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, then, Job was actually, I liked how Job always seemed exasperated by Bert.
Yeah.
even when he very first meets him, when Bert is on the run from those kids and Job shows up, he's like, come here. Come this way. Stop asking so many questions.
Just do it.
Just accept what's happening. I'll tell you later. Let's go.
Go with it.
Yeah. Yeah, their relationship in general is just funny. I wrote the corn attacks Bert, Job helps him, and then Job's look when Bert yells at him.
Yeah, that's when he says something like oh, geez, fine.
Yeah.
And then later after they do it, they're running away and they're like, Job says, is he dead? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, why are we still running?
Yeah.
Yeah. Job's got no time for nonsense.
No. Job's the voice of reason. He's just like, come on, guys. We got to keep this tight.
He's so cute. He's so cute.
This movie's also very, one thing I noticed, it's very similar to 101 Dalmatians, where you have like the main group of people who are sort of in peril, only to find out that there are like hundreds of other young children or puppies who are in need of, you know, who are in danger. The only difference in this one is only two of the kids get adopted. The other ones are abandoned and left at the fields.
Oh my God.
Danny.
They can continue to fend for themselves.
Yeah, like, good luck. Yeah. We need a sequel.
I don't understand, but that's okay.
I watched 101 Dalmatians recently, so it's just fresh.
Which one?
The cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Good, yeah.
It's a good movie.
It really is. It's beautiful. Is really good. The animation is insane.
Yeah. I like the music a lot. Mm-hmm.
But the sequel to Children of the Corn didn't come out until like 8 years later, I think.
Really?
There was like a huge gap.
I wonder why.
Was that I think it was like 92. No, it's not. I don't know what it's called.
The Final Sacrifice?
Yes.
Yeah, that was 1992. I remember
when I was a kid in the video store, they always had a, or they had a poster of it hanging on the wall. And I always thought it was cool.
Yeah. That's it's the Final Sacrifice, and it's the second movie in a very long running franchise.
Every other sequel is really a prequel. Like, we have no choice.
Yeah.
We did this to ourselves. I didn't realize there were so many. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah. The real Baker's Dozen.
The one that I knew of is the sixth one.
Well, do you think it's kind of like with Hellraiser, where it's just like, the company owns the rights, and if they don't make another movie, they're going to lose the rights.
Every 7 years, they have to.
And so they're just like, here, churn one out.
That's what. That's why why fucking the Fantastic Four keeps getting remade into terrible movies. Just give it up.
Yeah, we were talking about this with the Puppet Master franchise too, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because the Puppet Master, again, there's a lot of those, and they kind of
common trend.
Yeah,
for better or worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know how I wish this movie ended? And I'm not being serious at all.
With everybody. What?
I wish, because you know how like Sarah's always drawing like her visions? I wish she was like drawing. They're like, what is it, honey? She like shows it. It's like the closing credits. And they look at it and then just cuts to the closing credits.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
That'd be good, yeah.
Someday.
I thought that there was like you get that cool jump scare at the end in the car. Mm-hmm. When that girl is in the back seat, I thought when I was watching it last night or two nights ago, I thought that there was more to it. Oh. I thought like more people came out of the corn and were like attacking them again. I don't know where I got that idea, but
so I wish that this movie would have ended without her yelling before she cut his throat. So she could have just cut his throat.
Hey, don't turn around.
Well, you know, she's still young. She's still figuring
it's
out.
True.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he just knocks her out and leaves her there. So
yeah. Yeah. She's also probably never watched a scary movie before. She doesn't get it.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Didn't have the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
She'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, do you think it's time to go over our favorite reveals?
Yes. I love it.
All right. Casey, what do you got?
I honestly just like the beginning when Isaac's in the window.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good choice because it's creepy as hell.
It is creepy as hell. Mm-hmm. Cute little guy.
Hey, little guy.
Hey, little guy.
Buddy.
What are you doing out there?
Did I kill you?
Zach, do you have a favorite?
I mean, I really like the reveal of when we actually see the drawing of Vicky getting taken.
Yes.
I really like that how that whole scene is set up. And then when we finally see what was on the drawing, it's very well put together. It's great.
Right.
Yeah. I was kind of on the fence between either the opening or the scene with the vision, with the paper that Zach was just talking about. So I'm going to go with the latter. I thought that was, the first one was like crazy. It was like a really intense way to open the movie, but I thought the way that they set that one up was really fun.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I'll split it right down the middle then and go with Isaac in the window.
Aww.
Because
son of a bitch.
Thanks, Bernard.
You're welcome. that's a cool reveal. Well, now it's time for a segment that I like to call The Real Monster.
Run, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the Gingerbread Man.
You're a monster.
I'm not the monster here. You are. You and the rest of that fairy tale trash poisoning my perfect world. Now tell me, where are the others?
Eat me.
I had two real monsters in Children of the Corn.
Yes, that's the movie that we're talking about.
No, three. I'm sorry. I had three real monsters. The maid for disregarding the do not disturb sign.
Yeah.
And just like knocking on the door and being like, room service or maid service. No, Read the sign.
Yeah, but you know what? He did wake up and say they were late. And you know how fucking annoying it is to be working at a hotel and trying to get people out of the room? You know how many times I called the cops when I worked at a hotel? Because people wouldn't leave.
He even says, he's like, we have to go. And he's like, I'm just going to jump in the shower real quick. I'm like, no, you don't have time. You need to leave. There are other guests.
I have the kids, Sarah and Job, for yelling when the kid's trying to sneak out through the woods, through the corn. Yeah. They're like,
there's nobody here!
There's nobody here. And then my number one for real monster is Bert. Bert is the real monster of Children of the Corn because he goes to see Deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's his name. And Deal says, get out of here, go to the other town, keep going. Then they go in circles and they can't find their way back. They can't find their way out of the corn. They come up on his gas station again. And as he's driving away, he says, you better not show up in my emergency room.
Oh my God.
Which basically means that because Deal gave them bad directions, he would let him die
in an
emergency room.
That's illegal. You sign a contract.
Right?
You take an oath. Yeah, that's what I meant. You make an oath.
Yeah. God damn it, Bert.
Better not show up in my emergency room.
So I also had Bert, but I had it because, again, he can't throw the fucking Molotov cocktail in the cornfield.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a bunch of dry corn covered in gasoline around you.
Yeah. Can't successfully.
Literally surrounded by corn.
Throw it in the road. And he's telling Job to get the fuck out of there. And Job goes and grabs it for him and brings it back to him.
Like, throw it right this time.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's all I had.
Oh, it's funny.
So I actually I'm between two. They're both Bert.
Man.
The first one is, I'm so sorry, Bert. Great performance. Great job. Not a slant on the actor. But the first real monster I would say is Bert's curiosity. I get it that you're just naturally curious to find out why there's a box in the road with blood on it and why this town is empty and whatnot. But they're also just given so many opportunities to leave and to get out of there. And he refuses to take it. Every Vicky's just like, let's just go. This is so stupid. And he doesn't. So the second one is, I don't even know how to really phrase this, but it's sort of Bert's kind of asshole response to Vicky when she's like, are you going to propose to me? And he's like, no. It's like, oh, clearly you guys are close enough where she's like, come on, are we doing this? And he's just like, no. Not gonna happen. So he's just kind of stringing her along, and Vicky's been very committed to him, and I just don't think he deserves her.
You're a fucking doctor now, dude. Okay.
Yeah, you can afford a wedding.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah,
you're done with college, which is what everybody says they're waiting for to get married. When they're done with college, you're done.
You have no excuses now.
Nope.
Right.
Sorry, what about you, Zach?
I will go in a different direction and say that the real monsters were the adults in the town before they were killed. And I say that because for all the kids to immediately go with, let's kill all of them.
Something was wrong.
They must have, those kids must have felt pretty slighted.
Something was wrong.
I'm sure they were the real monsters.
Yeah, but Isaac comes in and he's like, kill your parents. And they're like, okay.
If nothing else, these parents didn't pay attention to their kids. They weren't. They had no idea that this was happening. Or
that
brewing.
They were all meeting in the cornfield talking about killing everybody.
Yeah, plotting out there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's a good one.
Not very attentive parents.
I love it. I think that wins best real monster in this episode.
Right to the source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So does anyone have anything else about Children of the Corn?
Oddly enough, I have nothing left to say. I know this I normally interject, but
you usually say
one more thing. I do love that Job was played by the same actor who plays Patrick in the Monster Squad.
Oh, was that him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for a second, I was he reminded me of Corey Haim. And I was like, that's not Corey Haim. I was like, but why does he look so familiar? So, IMDb'd him, and it's son of a bitch, if it isn't one of the Monster Squad actors.
Okay.
Squadders.
This is like the third or fourth episode in a row where we've brought up Monster Squad. I think our Scream references are now switching to Monster Squad references. Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, Zach, you still haven't approved Monster Squad for an episode. Thanks a lot. I've been leaving hints every episode.
Well, we got to go with the holidays, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we started the show 25 episodes ago with Indiana Jones references in every episode. So
just a natural progression.
We quickly moved on from that.
Your first episode was also, our first episode that I wasn't in was also Scream, which you can't really make a Scream reference in a Scream episode.
But it was just one big reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a reference. So
yeah, reference was the show.
Yeah.
So, Zach, before we wrap things up, tell us a little bit about Hell Hath No Fury.
Sure. So Hell Hath No Fury is a dark comedy about a husband and wife who both unknowingly to each other plot to kill each other on the same night.
Okay. And
lots of hijinks ensue. It's going to be, lots
That's
of hijinks.
Really nice.
lots of bloody hijinks.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah. And we're currently running an Indiegogo for it. If anybody's interested, you can find it at, you can either go to Indiegogo and search for Hell Hath No Fury, or you can go to planetthunderfilms.com. You should be able to find it that way. Should be a lot of fun.
That's exciting.
Awesome. And we will also have a link in the show notes. Since
I was going to segue into that. Zach, you got it first.
Go ahead, Danny. Go ahead. Segue away.
You know where else you can find it?
The show notes.
Yeah.
I love the show notes.
But you have to do that voice that you were doing. There's a journey in the show notes. I don't know.
Oh my God. Sounds like Isaac.
Yeah. Hey, Isaac, tell us about the show notes.
They're in the show notes. That's all I got.
That was not good, Danny.
No.
I'm just proud of my bravery.
We're all proud of your bravery. Yeah. Good job.
How do you do a solid Isaac impression? It's kind of like high pitched, but like crinkly and
yeah. I don't know. I'm too scared to try because I feel like it would just be really high pitched.
I would have to listen to him talk and then maybe I could emulate it. But if I don't hear
it. I mean, no one will beat mine. So technically, I have the best impression of all four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Good job.
Well, where can our listeners find you all on social media? It's Casey?
Instagram at WolfMotherCasey.
What about you, Danny?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Salim. Two M's like the candy.
There it is. And what about you, Zach?
You can find me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Left Eye Burns or at Planet Thunder for all movie stuff.
Perfect. Nice. And you can find me on social media at Zach Winsick on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. But more importantly, you can find How I Met Your Monster on social media at How I Met Your Monster on Facebook and Instagram and at I Met Your Monster on Twitter because some jackass took How I Met Your Monster and I don't even think it's a thing. I think they just have the name and
on
they're
Twitter?
Not doing anything with it. Yeah. So yeah, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, if there's any more information that you have on Children of the Corn that we did not cover, send us an email at zach@howimetyourmonster.com. And we do want to find out if we learn Isaac's origin. So please let us know. Join us next week as we dive into The Stepfather starring, is it Terry O'Quinn or Terry Quinn?
I thought it was Terry.
Who are you talking to? Because I have no idea.
Anyone out there.
I thought it was Terry Quinn, but now.
Just Terry Quinn? Maybe. I thought it was Terry O'Quinn. I think just Terry Quinn. Make sure to join us next week as we discuss The Stepfather starring maybe Terry Quinn,
Sherry
maybe
O'Terry.
Starring Sherry O'Terry.
We could easily look this up, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So
we're just not those kind of people.
This is like an older movie, right? You're not talking about the one that's like the guy from Nip Tuck is in?
No, Dylan Walsh cannot do The Stepfather justice. We are talking 80s Stepfather.
Okay. Just so I know, because I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. Thank you all for listening. Now go meet some monsters.
Go meet them.